song, amen.
That is good. All right, let's go ahead and look over at Joshua. Joshua chapter number one. Joshua chapter number one. We're going to look a little bit tonight at Joshua and then Moses. Because Joshua honestly ended up in his position at the time he did, because God took Moses off the scene and Israel needed another leader, and of course he put him in that place. We're going to look at that. But throughout the message tonight, I'd like for you to consider your strengths and your weaknesses. All right? Your strengths, exactly. Your strengths and your weaknesses. Now, I want you to do that not from the way that you see it, right? But from God's perspective. Like, if God was looking at your life, what would he say was a strength in your life? And what would he say is a weakness in your life? Because we're going to look at some strengths of Joshua and a weakness there as well, which is interesting. And we're also going to do the same with Moses. And you'll see why this becomes so important. So just here to start as we go through, from God's perspective, what would God see as a strength or strengths in your life? And what would God see as weaknesses or a weakness, a main weakness in your life? And that, by the way, that's hard for us to look at ourselves sometimes in that light, but it's important. It's important to know our strengths. It's also, I think, more important to know our weaknesses, because those are the areas we're vulnerable in. And there was an area of Moses' life that he was vulnerable in, and he didn't keep it at bay, and it cost him. And we'll see that. All right. And so just consider that tonight. And then I want to read that first verse of Joshua 1. And then we're going to flip back into Deuteronomy and look a little bit, but just considering in the lives of Joshua and Moses along those lines. Joshua 1:1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, and we'll pick up there in just a few. But let's go ahead and jump back to Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy 34. Now, after the death of Moses, we know, of course, Joshua then had the opportunity. He'd already been, in a sense, being groomed for this position. But it was after the death of Moses that he would then be installed as the leader of Israel. But what's interesting is that Moses, by the way, how old was Moses when he died? Well, who said it? 120. 100. Did someone say 900? There are those that were. Yeah, not Moses. Moses was 120. So the easy way to remember that about Moses' life is his life is broken up into three sets of 40, right? And so he was basically in Egypt for 40 years. Then he spent 40 years on the backside of the desert after he tried to get involved in Egypt before the time. And then 40 years in delivering Israel out of Egypt. And so anyway, there's three sets of 40. That makes it really simple there to remember the age when he passed. So he was 120 years old. And how many think that he was probably getting pretty feeble? You would think that at 120, but he wasn't. He didn't die because his body gave out, all right? And we're going to look at why he did die and what took place, because something happened in his life that God said, I can't use you anymore in the role that I have you, so I'm just going to have to take you home early. And that happened in Moses' life. And he said, I'm going to have to use somebody else. And, of course, that became Joshua. And Joshua was there, and he was serving alongside of Moses. He was his servant, it said. And he was happy to do so. Anyway, let's go ahead and we'll pray, and then we'll jump into Deuteronomy 34. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time together. Thank you, God, that we can look at these ones that you've recorded their lives here in your word, and we can learn from it. God, we can grow from what you recorded about them and their experiences, and God, how they interact with you, how things interacted in life, and what transpired. And God, I pray tonight that you would help us to be able to see some things here tonight in this text that might be a help to each of us. And we commit this time to you, God, and we ask for your help throughout this scripture. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Deuteronomy 34 and in verse number 1. It says, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, unto the uttermost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land that I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. Now, Moses really wanted to go into the promised land, and it had been something that had been promised for generations since Abraham, and he really wanted to go in. As a matter of fact, there was a point that he did, and God basically said, no, you're not, and don't ask me again. And so Moses really wanted to go in, and God just said no. And there's a reason why God did not allow him to go in, but it says in verse number 5, and we'll look at that in a minute, but verse 5 says, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. Watch this. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Meaning, he was still full of life, amen. His eyes were not dim. He still had his faculties about him, his abilities, his senses were still thriving in a sense, and his natural force. He wasn't decrepit, if you will. He was ready to go. He was raring and ready. He could have led Israel into the promised land, physically speaking. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So they had a really good transition here, which is proper, of course. It wasn't like a new guy just came in, and now they got to follow someone they don't know. No, they've been, Joshua has been a servant under Moses now for these years in the wilderness, we'll say 40 years, 38 years in the wilderness. And so he'd been there as a captain, if you will, under Moses for a long time. The people trusted him. And Moses, of course, had laid his hands on him. He was on board with Joshua. They were together. They were not at odds with each other at all. And so his hands were laid there, meaning there was a transfer there of that authority as God did allow. And then it says that he was full of the spirit of wisdom. And this is going to be a strength of Joshua, that he was very wise. He was able to be able to take things in and be able to process those and go in a good direction. I mean, if you think way back when he was part of the 12 spies that went into Canaan to spy out the land, it was Joshua and Caleb who came out, and they were the two, and the 10 said, we can't go in, there's giants in there and all that, big, you know, walled cities. And as they processed it, they were like, no, we can't go in. And Joshua and Caleb came out and said, what do you mean? We can go in because God's with us, right? He will fight the battle. So this was who Joshua was. He trusted God. He had faith in God. The situation was not the main thing with Joshua. God was the main thing with Joshua. By the way, that is what we would call faith. He was filled with the spirit of wisdom, which enabled him to walk by faith. By the way, there are no doubt some in this room that are strong in faith. And there's probably some in this room that are weak in faith, right? And weak in faith just means that you tend more to allow what you see to affect how you follow the word of God, right? So there are those in this room that would say, man, if God said it, buddy, let's just go do it. Amen. God's done gave it to us. Let's go. And there's others that would say, oh, wait a second. There's giants and then their hills. Amen. And you reason through the circumstances, and the circumstances tend to hold you back from following God as God would want you to. Does that make sense? And so again, just recognizing that either you're strong in faith, you're weak in faith, either you're full of that spirit of wisdom or you're not necessarily full of that spirit of wisdom where you're able. Some people are able to look at a situation and say, got it. I know the direction we need to go. This is how God is directing us. Others would say, I'm not so sure about that. I can't really make that decision right now. And you're not apt maybe to be able to see things like that. Amen. So again, strengths and weaknesses that all of us have. Joshua was strong in this area. And he was able to proceed by faith based on the sole fact that God said, go, let's go. He's going to be with us. Amen. And so he was full of that spirit of wisdom. And we know that Moses laid hands on him, and he would be the next commander, next leader of Israel. So let's look very quickly here at the reason why God said to Moses, you're not going in the land. Amen? Look over at Numbers 20. Numbers chapter number 20. Now, the reason Moses was not allowed to go into the land is because Moses had a weakness. And in a spot of weakness, he did something. And God said right then, based on what you just did, he said, you ain't going in. Sometimes we feel like God overlooks our weaknesses and the bad decisions we make in our weaknesses, and God's just going to give us a pass. But a text like this shows us, not necessarily. Could he? Sure. But not normally. And it's because we need to be responsible with what we have to work with. And none of us have a full complement in our lives of everything, right? We are not Jesus Christ. Now the local church is to edify its body until we come to the full stature of Christ. But that's a whole church coming together in all of our respective strengths to make up one body which will be fit for Jesus Christ. But all of us individually, we lack. We all lack in certain areas. We lack in more areas than we actually thrive in, right? And it's just who we are. And God made it that way on purpose so that we would have to rely on each other, amen, to accomplish his will. And be humbled by it, right? There's a need for that. We need to be humbled by what we don't have, who we're not, what we don't possess, and what our weaknesses are. Now, the naive or the proud, they don't want to consider that they have weaknesses. They feel like that's a bad thing to say. Well, no, not if it's true. Amen. Because if you try to walk and proceed in a way, in a direction, and in reference to something, and it's not an area God has gifted you or an area that you're strong in, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. And so built within that failing is a humility that takes place, right? For a reason. Well, Moses, this wasn't his first time that he failed in this respective area. And so God called him on it. Numbers 20, verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together. By the way, was Israel, were they easy to lead, always obedient, always looking to follow, a blessing to lead? No. God said they were a stiff-necked people, amen. At one point, he was going to wipe them all out, right? And Moses said, no. What are the people back in Egypt going to say if you do that, right? And so we know they were a stubborn people, hard to lead. But even so, we don't see a pass given here. Look at verse number 8. It says, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. By the way, what New Testament tells us who the rock was that the water came out. Who was that? That rock was Christ. God said, speak to the rock. Now, did Moses know that rock was Christ? Apparently not. Let's read on. It says, speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. They're murmuring, amen. They were murmuring about not having water and all that. They were causing some problems. God gave a solution. And he told Moses, speak to the rock. The rock will give water. Moses was upset. He was having problems with the rebels, right, with Israel. He says, hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you out of water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and the beast also. Well, water came out. It must have worked. That must be what God wanted. No, verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. So that's harsh. Oh yeah. But this is the reason. Moses, he had a weak spot in the area of anger. Remember what Moses did when he's carrying some precious tablets and two tablets. And God, with his own finger, wrote the Ten Commandments into the tablets, right? He writes the Ten Commandments into the tablets with his own finger, gives those to Moses. He carried these stone, probably very heavy tablets all the way down the mountain. And he gets down there, and they're corrupt themselves. And they were dancing around the fire, and they had a molten image now made from all the golden earrings that Aaron directs. All of this is going on, all this lewdness and wickedness. They were rocking out to some rock and roll music there, and just dancing and naked and all that around. If you read the text, that's what was going on. And Moses, in his anger, took those tablets and threw them to the ground. They just broke to pieces. And so what God told Moses then was, he told him to get some stone, bring it up, to carry the stone up there. And God, of course, would replicate those stone tablets so they would have them. But we find this about Moses, that he was prone to anger. And here's the problem with anger. Anger kind of takes us over if we allow it to. Right? A man who says he would never lift his hand to his wife will beat his wife if he gets angry. Same thing for children. Some women can get very angry, and they're very cruel when they get angry, and they're known to pick up sharp objects and cut people and things, right, in their anger. They just are. Bust windows out, break things, right? Anger actually will kind of blind your eyes, and you get tunnel vision in your anger. Let me just say this to you. You're responsible for what you do in your anger. God will hold you accountable for what you break and who you hurt and what you do when you're angry, what you say, what I say when we're angry. And so Moses had a weakness, and it was his anger. And so Moses was tired of the Israelites. And he addressed them in Deuteronomy as ye rebels, right? God had said, speak to the rock. And instead of speaking, he took the rod and he smote the rock. And the rock, of course, was a representation of Christ. In a sense, he beat Christ with a rod that day. And I wonder how many times we, in a sense, lash out at God, unknowing that that's what we're doing. And so God said, nope. I know what you want. He says, I know what you want more than anything, Moses. Get this. He said there's probably one thing in Moses' life that he wanted more than anything. And it was to go into that promised land. And when he did that, God said, you're not going in. Know this, God knows what you want more than anything. Amen. And I wonder how many of us maybe have already messed that up, right? Because we have failed to recognize our weakness. And we've done things in our weakness that God said too many times, no, 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 no. Okay, okay. Now this is off the table. You see, that's what we have there. Okay. Look over at Joshua 7. So God then picked Joshua. Now, why did God pick Joshua? Does anybody recall a time in Joshua's life that he got angry? There was a time that was close that I could recall. And that was when, remember, they went into, they battled Jericho. They defeated Jericho. And then after Jericho came Ai. And they got defeated, right? Now, what was Joshua prone to do? What was his weakness? He didn't seek the Lord there. That is true. But what did Joshua do when he was defeated? He got discouraged. Joshua was prone to not be courageous. And if you we read the beginning of Joshua, God emphasizes, be courageous. I am with thee. Be courageous over and over. And so while he would walk by faith, he was prone to discouragement, it seems. And so, but he wasn't prone to anger that I could find. I couldn't find. Anyway, look at Joshua 7, verse 5. It says, the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore, the heart of the people melted and became as water, and Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. And by the way, just thinking through what Luke said about not seeking the Lord, there's another time he didn't seek the Lord, right, with the Gibeonites. And so, yeah, that's true. Yep, twice there. He didn't seek the Lord's direction here. And then later, in both those times, it would cost the army for sure. Anyway, verse 7. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Now, I want you to see this. For those of us in this room, this is an interesting duo that I have found sometimes is linked together. People that are people of faith, quick to follow the Lord, but then at the same time, quick to be discouraged when it doesn't work out. Does that make sense? So it's an interesting combination that I find. I find it in my own life. I found it in other people's lives where, I mean, if God says go, I'm pretty quick to say, all right, let's go, amen. Whatever that means. And I'm typically, if I feel like I have a direction from the Lord, there's not a whole lot stopping me. I mean, because I just feel like God said do it. I mean, I'd almost let everything behind me burn down. I don't care. Because I'm following the Lord. Does that make sense? Okay, and so that is faith. But like Joshua, he had that ability. He had that ability. God said, go, let's go, right? And I mean, he was full throttle all the time. He said, go, let's go, go, go. But when it didn't work out, like right here, he was prone to just be crushed by the defeat that in his own mind, he's like, what in the world, Lord? You're the one that said, go. And all of a sudden, I follow you and it all falls apart, right? And he was prone to this discouragement. So let's see what happens here. So the Lord, he said, O Lord, verse 8, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies. For the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto this great unto thy great name? Look at this. And the Lord said unto Joshua, I love this, get thee up, you big crybaby. Oh, I added that second part, amen. Because that's what I have to tell myself. Amen. Would you stop whining and crying? Get up. Stand upon your feet. Quit you like men. Act like a man here, amen. Stop bawling and squalling and crying. There's a reason. And so this is what he's going to tell him. He says, up. He told, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed thing from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. So Joshua, he was a man of faith. I mean, he trusted God. He would run into anywhere, anything, do anything God directed him to do. But when there was a defeat, truly, he struggled with that. And in this case, as soon as God kind of reprimanded him pretty hard here, but as soon as that happened, he followed the Lord's word once again. Amen. And people of faith typically do that. Amen. They're strong to listen to God's word, and they'll be defeated a little bit when things don't work out. But as they're in their quiet time, they're getting with God and all that, God will say, what are you doing? Amen. Get off your face. Quit whining about it. Amen. This is why that happened. Now, this is what I want. And then once God gives direction again, right back up, you're striving again. Amen. And that's exactly what happened with Joshua. Now, Joshua, when he heard the direction, wasted no time. But even with that, I don't see him angry with Achan. Look at Joshua 7 and verse 25. It says, and Joshua said, this is after it was found out that Achan was the one. And Joshua 7 verse 25 says, and Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? It's so calculated. I love it. Amen. Instead of getting angry, he just lays it out there. And it was almost like a business transaction if you read the text. I don't know if you've ever read through this whole thing here, and you're thinking, man, Joshua's like, man, he's like, just the way it is, buddy, I'm sorry. You did it. This is what God said to do. We're going to kill you. We're going to kill you, your family, all your cattle. We're all of it gone. And he's like, all right, make it happen. But there's like, it's not like it's in a pit of anger. He just says, God said do it. We're doing it. Does that make sense? And that's who Joshua was. So it says in this text, it says, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burnt them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger when the name of that, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. So it seems that Joshua suffered more from a lack of courage than he did from having an anger issue. Amen. Now look back at Joshua now, chapter 1 and in verse number 2. Joshua chapter 1 and in verse number 2. Keep that thought in mind. Let's suppose Joshua's issue is being prone to, when defeat happens, prone to discouragement. By the way, would we consider that a weakness? Absolutely. Because the Bible, we're commanded to be courageous, right? And if you're discouraged, the root word there is courage. Dis is your no, so no courage. Discouragement means you have no courage. So when we have no courage, we don't go forward, right? And so when we read through, you're going to find that God, he pours it on to encourage Joshua to almost say to him, no matter what happens, you stay courageous. Does that make sense? And we're going to see that. Amen. Let's see here. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And this is God speaking to Joshua. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I have said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Watch this. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And when they had that issue after Jericho, before Ai, it was over the breaking of a command of God. And so God was teaching him. Now, God never departed from them, but he did show that if you're going to break my law, if you're going to break my word, then it's going to affect how you're able to stand. And so then he would have to follow God's word so that he'd get back on track. And then, of course, God was with them in that strength again. Amen. And so when we look at Moses, we see really his Achilles heel was he was affected by the people and would get angry at them. He would get angry at their disobedience. And with Joshua, we don't necessarily see that anger. We see just, you know what? God said this. This is what we're going to do. And if Moses would have been that same way, he wouldn't have been smiting that rock. He would have just followed what God said to do, which was to speak to the rock. And it all would have been good. So in a sense, when God chose a replacement for Moses, he chose a guy that actually was strong in an area that his predecessor, Moses, was weak in. Is that interesting? Very, very interesting. Amen? And so, praise the Lord. Moses had a number of strengths. He was a very meek man. He, on and on, and what a combination. Meek, but could become angry. How about another combination right here with Joshua? A man of faith, but was prone to discouragement. Those two are so close. Amen? Probably in your own life, you'd see the same thing. And it might even be a hard thing to figure out at times because you're like, man, I could be so strong in this area. And then this happens. And then I'm just weak. And this is what I'm prone to. But we need to be careful with the areas of our strengths and weaknesses. We don't want to take our strengths too far, right? Because we can do that. We can go beyond in the areas of gifting that God has given to us and take those outside of where God has directed. But we also are probably even more prone, though, in doing things that we shouldn't do when we're in that period of weakness that we all have. Everybody in this room tonight has an area or many areas of weakness. Not all the time, just some of the time. And it's in those times that we're prone to do some things that can cost us and cost others. Does it make sense? By the way, what another little thought here, just to add to this kind of thought in reference to Moses and Joshua. I don't think Joshua would have minded just being second man right on into the promised land. I think he was happy in his position under Moses. I mean, that's what it seems like. He's doing just fine. He's enjoying things. But him being a servant to Moses, probably without him even knowing it, prepared him for the day that the guy over him would be removed. And remember, it wasn't because Moses just got so old, he just couldn't do it anymore. It's because God said, your time in this position is done. I'm going to take you out of the way. And I have this other one that you've been preparing. And he's going to move in. Isn't that awesome? So awesome. And so God absolutely has all this worked out. We just need to be faithful to him. Amen. But I just wanted to give you a little thought tonight. Know your weaknesses. Know where you're weak. And you'll know the areas that you're weak. And the easy way to figure it out is, it's the areas that when you're weak, you do or say things that you regret. You wish that wouldn't have happened. Amen? And you can't change it. You can make some adjustments, put some protections in place so that next time those weaknesses are not exploited by the enemy or by our own flesh, right, which is an enemy. But you can't go back and change what's already happened. You can make things right. You can apologize. You can do what you can to, you know, try to repair some damage. But if your hope is that damage just goes away, that'll never happen. And that's why it's humbling. That's why it's humbling. If you need to be humbled over it and realize you're not Superman or Superwoman, amen? And you need God. And you have weaknesses, and I have weaknesses. And we just need to be honest with ourselves for these and ask God how we should proceed with that. And what's interesting is, should Moses, with an anger issue, have been in that position? Of course, because God called him. Sometimes we think, I have a weakness, so God never put me in a particular position. That's just not true. Think about being a parent. There's a lot of weaknesses us adults have, us as parents have, that our kids can suffer through if we're not honest with ourselves about our weaknesses. Amen. How about our spouses? Or our church, the ministry. On and on. So anyway, take account of your weaknesses. Ask God how you should proceed with them. Be very careful in those times. And put some warning signs there so you know, hey, right now I'm in weakness. By the way, you should never make major decisions in times of weakness. You should never, make major actions in times of weakness. You want to be really careful in those times. Amen, God. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you, God, for just this time in your word today with this thought. And Lord, I've been helped with it already and even now just preaching it, God. And I thank you for that. And I definitely need to be very cognizant of the areas of my life that are weaknesses and be very careful in those times when they happen, when I'm living in them, because those are the times that I can be very easily exploited by the enemy. I need to be careful of that, and I do, and I am. But God, all of us, Lord, have these things about us that the enemy knows about us, and we just want to be careful that we just don't excuse our weaknesses and act like it's somebody else's fault or act like it's just a normal thing or whatever. God, it's not. It's just something that we're not strong in. And some of our weaknesses we can be strengthened in if we'll just allow you and yield to you with the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to examine us in those areas. God, many of our weaknesses can be helped by the Word of God. And Lord, as we allow you to do that work in our life to strengthen us in these areas. But in some ways, I even think about that thorn that Paul struggled with, a thorn in the flesh. It was an infirmity, and it made him weak, and he struggled with it. Whatever that was, God, he struggled. He besought you, and he He was told by you, God, that you were going to have that remain. And it was almost just to keep him in check because of the abundance of revelation there. And so, God, there are some things we're just going to have to learn to deal with and learn to work through. Things that we wish were not that way. But Lord, through it all, Lord, we can still accomplish your will and your work in our lives because you're well aware of these shortcomings that we have. And God, you can strengthen us and do in and through us all your will in spite of who we are and what we have to deal with. So God, thank you for this night. Help us just to consider this tonight and take account. And might it be a help to each of us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.